Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum issue 99. And yes, this time it is issue 99. Last week was just a test because I just wanted to do it and I forgot what number we were on.
It's not that hard, man.
Yeah, I know. Well, hey, you know, you didn't correct me. So, I mean, we're both in an error
with
here.
It. That is why. Yeah. With the flow.
You call me out whenever you want to, but that time you're like, yeah, let him go. Yeah, just let him go. All right, guys. My name is Mike. I am your wordy and nerdy host. Of course, I have Kane here with me, my brother from the darker side of Gotham. And we want to welcome you guys to Heroes Asylum Show. We are a weekly podcast and video show. We discuss all the news that came out through the last week regarding anything comic book related, sci-fi related, books, movies, television, all sorts of goodies.
Excuse me.
We look it up so you guys don't have to, and you can just sit here and listen to us. And you can also check us out at the bottom if you guys look. Our podcast locations are all there. There are more, but that's as most as I could put in there for you. So hopefully you guys will check us out. Subscribe, like, and we got more stuff coming out.
Spread the word.
Yeah, yeah, we also have Heroes Asylum Midnight Movies. That's something Kane does that we do. What are we doing so far on Heroes, the Midnight Movies? Coming out,
starting off 2020 with a bang, guys. We're gonna do a review this Saturday. We're gonna do AI, which is a Steven Spielberg movie that's actually a quirky little movie, which I decided to review. And our first movie watch along also is this Saturday. And if you guys would like to participate, we'll put the details in the links or in the page. We're gonna do Logan, so we're gonna not step out of our genre, but we're just, you know, tiptoeing. We're gonna do some different movies, but I had a choice between this one and another one, and I decided to go with this one. So,
very cool. I can't wait to do Logan. Yeah, it's one of my favorite ones. Also, guys, just take a moment to give Kane a big shout out. It was his birthday last week. We didn't talk about it last week, or his hatchling day. We're still not sure if he was birthed or just hatched out, you know, from the spawns of hell.
Depends who you ask and what.
That's why I just made that comment. So I'm sure there are others that would go, well, I don't think he was really birthed, but
a big shout out to the guys at Mannequins. They're a new place in Sanford, Florida, where I live around. Actually 25 minutes from me. Really good place, really good music, really good cocktails. A lot of geeks over there, and we passed a word along about the Heroes Asylum, and one of them actually had a booth, and he created this little sonic screwdriver here, a little personal thing, like has some weight to it, doesn't bells or whistles or nothing like that, but he's a good artist. He sells it. He goes there once in a while. He's got a little booth, so check out Mannequins in Sanford. Really good place.
Very cool. All right, guys, we got all that goody stuff out of the way. So I have gathered some news up that, you know, just throughout the week of things that have come in that, you know, just I think you guys would be interested in stuff Kane and I always like to talk about. And Kane and I are really, really good friends, but we never talk throughout the week because we don't want to spoil the crap we're going to talk about here.
That's the truth. Yeah, that's the rule now. Before it used to be like we could just text. Now we just can't do it. It's almost like I have to hold this secret for a damn week.
It is a little frustrating, but we can actually talk about this. And this one's kind of fun because this is something I know you've always been talking about, the evil movie, you know, makers in the back behind Warner Brothers, the evil twisted mustache villains. This came out last week where Patty Jenkins details internal war at Warner Brothers over Wonder Woman. And there was a very heavy mistrust. And this refers really to the first Wonder Woman movie, but there was also some tie-ins to the most recent Wonder Woman movie about the end and how really Warner Brothers pushed for a specific ending to take place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were saying, you know, I think at the time when they first started talking to Patty Jenkins about Wonder Woman to do the first one, Nolan was still going, you know, still, you know, doing his production. So, you know, there was a thing of, you know, they didn't want to do the dark side and go that direction. And then finally, you know, they kind of saw how Thor 2 was, how dark it was, and how, you know, that didn't do as well. So, you know, in bad form, you know, they're comparing themselves to the other people. You never want to compare yourself to your competitors. You want to compare yourself to what you did last and move forward from that. And that's where we see that's where we see WB and, you know, DC definitely tripping up a lot.
Yeah, I heard some things about the first Wonder Woman movie that kind of detail those things. from what I heard, because Nolan wasn't involved. I've always said, I mean, he's involved, but he's not involved, I guess, if that's a word to use.
I always thought he was I thought he produced. He was like executive producer or something like that. Some of the first early stuff.
I don't
know
if he was on set. I don't know if he was on set or not. I'm not sure. Maybe they just sent him some vids or like, hey, what do you think of this shot? You know, would this shot work with this? I think that's what he did mostly. I think, but I could be. If I'm wrong, let me know, guys. But from what I gathered from the first Wonder Woman movie, WB didn't do too much with Patty because they thought the movie was going to fail. That's why go ahead, make your movie. It's going to fail. You know, we'll eat it up. But when it did great, they're like, oh, okay, she did great. Let's sign her up for another one. And, you know, they signed her up for this one. And, you know, if you guys haven't heard the review of the one that we did for Wonder Woman 84, it's in the archives. Check it out. Big review there. But I guess it wasn't as well received as the first one. And I agree, like, the first one is a little bit better, but this movie's not awful the way they painted it out. And a lot of the producers, you know, how they get, you know, too many cooks in the kitchen. That's what I've heard about 84 also. Like, stuff happened. You know, they moved the date back a couple times, apparently because of special effects they wanted to add. I mean, it could be a cover up. Who knows? But
is really referring to the first Wonder Woman that they got. Yeah, that's what I was telling you. It's like this really was based in the first Wonder Woman. The ending is not what she originally wanted. They filmed a couple of different endings, and the WB ending is what.
What were the different endings?
Find the exact wording on this article about what the actual ending was, but yeah, no, it wasn't about this movie specifically. Yes, there were a lot of cooks in the kitchen for this one.
Because I read something about 84 that there were some cooks involved in the kitchen with this one also.
There were, yeah, because once they get it, it's the same thing that's going to happen with everything. We're starting to see that now a little bit with I know we talk about Cobra Kai. Cobra Kai's last season was great, but you could see something happening. There were certain things that were going on. You could see that other people were getting involved that wasn't from, you know, you can definitely see the difference from the first and second season to this one.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when something gets
something gets big. Everybody wants to, everybody wants to put their
piece of it.
Everybody wants to put their two cents in, and then like, no, listen, they did great. Let the people that created it and got it out there just do their thing, because obviously it was perfect. And you know, we're just starting to see more and more of that. That was one. Yeah, and it's something we've heard before. You know what I did find interesting? I didn't realize it, but in the 84, I've seen it a couple of times already. Did you realize Zack Snyder and his wife were executive producers on that as well?
No, I knew that.
See, I was surprised because I thought, you know, this is the one they're trying to break away from the Snyder, you know, DC, because they're, you know, that's kind of what they're looking at, because that's, again, one of the news things that we're going to talk about is where, you know, Snyder's really saying, you know, this is it. This is just going to be the one and done, and we're just moving forward. You know, the DC universe is just going to move forward. He's just finishing his piece of it. So,
which makes sense. I mean, yeah. Like, he had a three-story arc, three-movie planned. I mean, I never thought he was going to come back and do Justice League 2 or 3 or 4. I never thought that. This is like the arc he started in Man of Steel, BVS.
Yeah, we got a trilogy right there.
We got a trilogy out of it.
That's Snyder's trilogy. Yeah, we're good. I'm perfectly fine with it. We saw the birth of the, you know, of the Justice League. We saw basically the infancy of it growing from the seed of Superman showing up, and then, you know, basically how comic books started in the beginning, really. It was Superman, then Batman, and then they all joined.
Yeah, that's all it was. You know, it's a good film, and, you know, depends who you ask. But, he was never going to go any further than that. He's got other projects lined up. I think he's, Planet of the Dead or Army of the Dead he's doing.
I thought that was being worked on now, because I know Dave Bautista's been brought up because
photos on it. Let me see it, because I have it. Like, that's one of my news stories, actually, that I have right here. Where is it? I'm sorry, guys. Give me a second. I love my computers very fast. Yeah, here it is. Zack Snyder, yeah. It's Army of the Dead. Yeah, so there's some shots of it online right now. You could check that out on superherohype.com. But, no release date, but he's working on that. I guess he's got another movie in the fire. So this is it for him in DC. Like, he's done his due diligence, and he's going to get to finish the project the way he wanted to and go from there. That's it. Yeah.
So what do you think about the rumor that really, I mean, it literally lasted about a day was that the Batman of the first, you know, DC going forward was going to be Keaton. And then literally the very next day it got like squashed. The rumor got twisted back around. What would you think about it? If they did go that route, if they made Keaton the Batman, you know, Rob Pattinson's already on his own, you know, doing his own thing. So it's going to be that, because we already know it's multiverses, but the main verse was going to be Keaton. and that they were going to base some stuff around him.
Well, obviously, if this was true, it was later debunked, like you said. It's not a bad idea. I mean, I've always been a bigger fan of the older type Batman, like him behind the scenes, kind of like him being in the Watchtower, like guiding a team. I wouldn't hate that because you're going to have like this other Batman on this other Earth. He's a young guy. He's out there kicking ass. Fighting.
What about your shirt right now?
You mean talking about the Red Hood?
No, I was thinking. Oh, sorry. I saw the. I can't see that. I couldn't see the full bottom of it. Sorry. I was going to say Batman Beyond. They can finally do a Batman Beyond at that point.
They if they want. I mean, that's another thing I didn't even really think about.
I figured that would have been.
I didn't because I've heard so many things about Batman Beyond the last couple of years, and it's always teases, and I don't want to hear it no more until actually the report's actually definitive. But yeah. I mean, if they wanted to go there, great. But yeah. I don't think they will. I don't think they will. He'll be like. I think if he does come in, he'll be like a behind the scenes type of guy, Watchtower Justice League. He'll just be there, like, you know, he'll have the suit on once in a while. Maybe you'll see him in the shadows, but him getting involved in the action, I just doubt that. What do they say that he was going to be like the Nick Fury of the DC universe?
Yeah, the Nick Fury of the So he'll be kind of intertwined, and it all depends on where they go with Flash. I mean, that's what we're waiting on is to find out what is going on. What you know, the storyline basically of Flash is what we're waiting to hear and see where they go with that. Speaking of Flash, we saw that Ray Fisher's no longer working with the DC and is being pulled. His Cyborg is being pulled from the Flash movie. Again, he's... It's one of those strange things. It's like...
It's very odd.
He's crying wolf a lot, but there's nothing getting produced or shown that these things are going on. Yes, we understand, and I understand completely that Hollywood does have its shady sides, and certain things do happen back there that are... There is a certain... I don't want to call it a white power, but there is certain, the white group still, has a lot of power with inside of Hollywood. But this is just like, it's like every other person, he's like, oh no, that one did this to me. That guy did this. I was like, really? What's going on here? I mean, he even went after Yamada, how can you go out? He's a Asian American.
He literally just started. too. Like, I don't think he was involved in the Justice League movie at all. I don't think Yamada wasn't even there. So it's so strange.
He was with the company, but I don't think.
But he wasn't. He wasn't like an executive.
I don't think he was in the power of power. But yes, I think he was there on set doing stuff. But I mean, I could see that happening. That Ray Fisher could say, "Well, yeah, I did have an interaction, and it did turn out this way." It just seems very strange that.
I just like the last couple of weeks, every Ray Fisher story is by just him whining and like. I don't know. It's just like at first I got it. I understood it. Like they had a couple people behind him. And now it's just like too much. Like it's like he's whining about this. Now he's off the movie. He says he's not off the movie.
Oh, no. He basically said he's not doing anything else with DC. And I think probably at that point they're like, well, if you're not going to do anything more with us, why should we even further your character? I think might have been the route they're going. So,
yeah, I think that's for now. I think eventually down the road, if they start rebuilding this universe on screen, they will do another
Flash. I think they needed somebody else. I think they need somebody else, and not just because of him and what he's been doing, and what he's saying.
Fresh new character, fresh take.
Fresh take, because I mean, we gotta realize. I mean, we got a lot of these characters that are kind of getting up there, the actors, and that was even brought up this week. I don't know if anybody ever I'm sure I think you listen to it every once in a while, but John Campia, that somebody asked him the question do you think Henry Cavill can still do Superman for now and then, maybe even another 10 years from now? And answer to
how old is he now?
He's in his
late 30s,
right? Yeah, late 30s, 38, 39. I mean, just look at the man now and look at The Rock. Look at The Rock and how in shape he is. And he's 48. All right.
The Rock is a freak of nature.
Well, so is when you look at Henry, dude, look at him. He, if he works out enough, he gets that point.
He's a big dude. Yeah. He's a big dude.
And kind of to go with what you said about Batman, why not? Why can't we see an older Superman then? Because there are a lot of stories of Superman.
You and I are both in the same boat as far as like seeing characters age. And I would love to see like an older, gray hair, like Kingdom Come with the white striped Superman. That'd be cool. But it depends how they want to do it because, they're rebooting Batman again and he's young. And like, when I heard about this, I had the same impression you did. Like, I don't want to see a young Batman. I'm tired of the young Batman. I like the older, mature Batman. He's been to the wars and all
and
that.
And guys, it's not because we're getting older. It's literally that's what I've enjoyed. Yeah, it's got nothing to do with our age. When I was 20, or my early 20s is when I rediscovered Frank Miller's Batman. That's about an old Batman, and I love that. I was like, that's what I want. Something with season. He's you know, rough and grizzled. So yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things. It's like, I think, yes, yeah, I think Henry can play it. You don't have to have these super ripped superheroes all the time. I mean, if you look at anything, if you look at the Marvel Netflix series, they were in shape, but they weren't like super ripped or anything. You can get away with superheroes that way.
Not everybody can be The Rock or Chris Evans, man. Unless the role calls for it. I mean, like, you don't need, like, look at Paul Bettany. Is Paul Bettany working out to be Vision? I don't think so.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they get everybody to work out to a certain extent.
Yeah. But I think it depends. I don't think he's doing the Chris Evans diet, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't think anybody can do the Chris Evans diet. Chris Evans can do the Chris Evans diet anymore.
No, I don't think he can, man. It's a lot of turkey, man. A lot of chicken.
So you got anything?
Yeah, I got a couple of things here that we'd like to discuss. What do you think about actually the DC animated movie Justice Society film? Just cast Matt Bonner and Stanta Kitanic. Is that her name? Kitanic.
Yep.
She's from Castle. I think she's so gorgeous, by the way. But yeah, they've been cast as Wonder Woman in, I believe, The Flash.
Yeah, but not Jay Garrick, though. It's not, or not specifically.
No. It's not Jay Garrick.
I think it's great because the way they're doing, because they're going with Justice Society, you know, during the World War II era, and I think that's perfect. I love that idea. I've always been a fan of Justice Society. We're seeing that now in Stargirl, so it's great that we're getting away from the Justice League and everything that's in her face for the last two decades. You know, we're getting to what people grew up with. You know, like I said, though, when I went to see Wonder Woman a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting there watching it with a bunch of 80-year-old women. And so they grew up with Justice Society. They didn't grow up with Justice League. And I think it's great to honor that and to show more of it. I think probably one of my favorite DC animated movies is the Frontier
one. That's First Frontier.
Yeah, love that one because the drawings were so different. They were very period looking, and I love the whole aspect of it. So if they go that route with this, I'm on board.
Well, the artwork and the designs of it looked like that's what they're going to go for too. They have like the original sort of like Wonder Woman design.
Well, she has
like the sort of like the I don't want to call it like the Betty Boop haircut, but it sort of kind of looks like the Betty Boop haircut.
Betty Boop was more bopper style now, but I know what you mean. Yeah, Rosie the Riveter kind of hairstyles and stuff from World War II.
They call like rockabilly. They call rockabilly style for
it, that would fall under that. Yeah, Rosie the Riveter kind of hairstyles with the bandana.
Not
up
that and, I want to sit here and talk to you about hair for 30
but it's okay. You know, hey, I chopped mine off finally. So
looks good. Yeah, I had a little cut myself. You know, a little
so we can talk about hair here. Sorry for those that don't have it, but we're now. But
yeah, no offense. You're talking about 240-year-old guys who have their hair. Yeah. So that's an accomplishment in itself.
Yeah.
So,
not to rub it into anybody. I am looking forward to this. I hope to, and again, it's DC animated. I loved what they did with the Superman one. I can't wait to see what else they do. I think the next one we have is the Batman, the Son of the Dragon.
I don't think that's part of this world, is it?
It's not. I don't think anything is part of this world just yet because the world's new. We don't know what's tied in just yet because, again, they flash, you know, flashpointed their whole universe. So we're starting fresh, and they may be because the style is a little similar. So I don't know if they're all going to tie in because when you got to realize, man, when we first started watching the original animated one a decade ago or probably more than that.
It's been a while.
15 years, I think. Actually, I think it was 15 years ago.
Ooh, is it 15?
I believe so. Yeah, I want to say it was 15. But yeah,
I think you're right. It's about that.
But like when the first one dropped, we didn't know this was going to be intertwined with things, and we didn't know that. Oh, you know what? This movie won't be, but this next one is. We didn't know that when the first couple came out. We had no idea of a continuing universe. That concept was still new to us, except in comic books, not in the movie or the animated world. And so I think we're just seeing the infancy. We're seeing the seeds being planted for that world because they have to continue it because we have to see where Flash went.
Yeah.
Because Flash went somewhere. He had to Flashpoint. And whenever he does that, he shows up.
Wouldn't it be kind of cool, though, if they kind of open the movie where the Flash just jumps out of the Speed Force and it's that world? I mean, they won't do it, but I think that would be kind of cool.
I thought they would have done that with Superman, at least, like, you hear a sonic boom, a bam, bam, and you see the red and yellow blur go by.
And the movie begins.
That's it. We don't see Flash for another five movies from now, but, you know.
Yeah, that was him. You know, you could throw that back, you know, if you want to continue to, you know, connect these worlds, which I don't think they're going to, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's great that they don't, because I do like it where they can be standalone ones, but I think what they'll do eventually, they will start weaving them in. Yeah, but it may not be these worlds we're going to see. Like, these first couple of movies, these may just be testing the water to see what, you know, hey, yeah, we've got a clean slate, let's toy with stuff, and let's just do things we always wanted to do.
Yeah, just mess around and go crazy. Do your one-offs, and then if you want to build something again, great. But, you know, you don't have to. You already had that.
Yeah.
And we always like to move forward.
Exactly.
Kind of like our next story, moving forward.
Exactly. Very good. Next one is, guys, Friday, we're finally getting our first, and I'm calling it our first MCU live-action show. Sorry, I'm drawing a blank there.
First one, yep, since Endgame.
Yeah, I'm not counting Legends, which just got released last week, which was a horrid disappointment.
It was like,
what are you doing, MCU? You're just like, well, here we're just gonna mix up stuff you've already had before, but here it is. It's a new product. Yeah, no, it wasn't.
I don't know what that was.
That's for people that, if you have been living under a rock for the last decade and have no idea what an MCU is and what these characters are, that's where you go. That's your entry point. But it just was weird. But we do have WandaVision dropping this week. We've got the first two episodes will be dropping, and then it will continue as a weekly installment, just like Mandalorian was. And
that's a good move. I like that.
I think it's great. You know, introduce and just let it go. It's going to go, you know, eight episodes per, you know, just like probably like Mando. And but everything, all the first reactions are positive. I have yet to find a negative on it. I've heard a lot of positive. Some liked the intertwining and the themes that they did, and like their little, and you can see that in the trailers that they're going from time to time. They're going from, you know, like making fun of television series in themselves, it looks like.
Well, this is a product that Marvel has been around for almost 20 years now, and you know, when you finish your main story, you're allowed to just, you know, branch off and do different things. And I think from what I've read, they said it's an experimental show, I guess, the way they've shot it and storylines. And you know, I've also read those articles, and they said it's good. So I can't wait. And when you've been around for so long, and you've done so much good, and you're bringing out something new, why not? Why not? Just tweak it up a little bit.
It's WandaVision. They can just do whatever they want and have fun with it. And it doesn't have to be real, because they can always just say, hey, it was in Wanda's head. It was a bad dream. They turn it into a Bob Hope episode at the very end where he wakes up and he's back to being a dentist. they can literally just do that and go, Wanda, what happened? I just had a dream, and just move on.
Just woke up.
Yeah. So they are, you know, they are talking with, like I said, WandaVision is coming out. So be ready for that. If you do need a recap, go and watch the Legends if you feel it's necessary. But a part of the Disney Plus series that's coming out, Kevin Feige was on Friday. He was at an event talking about the release of WandaVision, and Secret Invasion came up. And Secret Invasion is basically what he said. This is going to be one of the next steps in the phase, but it will take place on the streaming service. So we will not, we're going to get the further adventures that we saw at the very end of Captain Marvel, where we saw, you know, Sam Jackson and the rest of the aboard the Skrull ship. Or the Skrull ship, sorry. And so we saw that. So
you
that's
a crawl ship. That'd be kind of cool, man.
Yeah, sorry. It was a crawl ship. but like, that's where we see him at, you know, hanging out with them. Yeah, and that is going to be Secret Invasion, and that's going to be, again, strictly for Disney Plus.
That's good. They have enough, you know, episodes to tell that. I mean, it's not that it's a huge storyline, but you know, you can get to map it out each series, like throw a little hint here and there. I mean, that's cool. I mean, I didn't really want to see it in the big screen.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have other plans for the big screen, but yeah, leave it in the streaming service. I'm good with it.
Yeah, like I said, yeah, they'll probably have it to where, you know, it's just going to be a series all by itself. So we have time to look forward to that. We have so much more coming out before we get to that. You know, we still have the Bucky and Winter Soldier, or the Winter Soldier and Falcon. We have Hawkeye coming out. So a lot more before we get to that. But that he was asked about that, and I thought that was glad he kind of talked about it.
God, glad he threw it in there. And, you know,
so what do you have next?
What do I have up here? Ooh, I'm still getting used to this computer. This is nice. Warner Brothers and Legendary have settled a dispute. Godzilla vs. King Kong will be on HBO Max and the movers simultaneously, which is good for this guy. I mean, I guess that was one of the big things. They said they were going to release it in theaters, but then they didn't want to. Now they're going to do it on HBO Max and in movie theaters. But to me, a movie like that is fit for the big screen. I'm going to watch it both like I did Wonder Woman 84. So, I mean, I just can't wait. Godzilla vs. Kong, man. That's a fight that's been waiting to come since the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
You've been waiting this your whole life.
Yeah.
Since that horrible movie that came out, I think it was in 72?
Which one? The Godzilla, the American, the first American version?
Yeah, the first one where he lost, and then like there's another version where he won, and I have never seen that Japanese version where he won, apparently. But I have to check it out. But yeah, it's coming up, and everything I've seen of this film as far as like the stills, story looks good, a lot of good things in it, so, you know, it should be decent, and it deserves to be on HBO Max and the big screen, so guys, check it both out. Do a twofer. Watch it on HBO Max, go to the theaters, take some friends, and go watch it, throw a mask on, and you'll love it. Don't miss out on the movie experience.
Yeah, definitely. And again, I like I said, I went to see Wonder Woman, and the movie experience was very safe and secure.
Yeah, it's not as, you know, there's not like, it's not like this. So what you got, bud?
Actually, this week, another thing got dropped from Disney Plus or Disney. But Star Wars, The High Republic, the new launching point for the further adventures in the Star Wars universe, did drop. The first book came out for Light of the Jedi. I do have it. I am planning to do a review. I'm halfway through it right now. So definitely going to be doing that. So far, it's been really good. I'm enjoying it a lot. It's a little different because, again, you're getting introduced to a whole bunch of new characters. But what's cool about it is they're doing different stories. They also released not only this week they released the comic book for that as well. It's not a comic book adaptation, but it's a comic book for the High Republic. Mm-hmm. And it's basically following a Jedi who just became a Jedi Knight. She was at the end. She was ready for her trials. Her Jedi Master, I love, is a Bosk character, but he's a Jedi. We never see that kind of character. We always see them, in the other ones, very, you know, always on the fringe or always a bounty hunter of some sort, you know. But in this one, he's a Jedi Master who's lost his arm, so he's a one-armed Jedi Master. He's a complete badass. But it basically circles around that they're now out in the Outer Rims. They've planted out a space station, Starlight Station, and it's kind of like the central. I hate to compare it to anything, but I'm going to have to. It's a very Babylon 5-esque in the thought that they are on the Outer Rim, but they're a source of light and hope. But the Jedis are – it's a different time. You've got the Chancellor is not a power-hungry Chancellor. The Chancellor, she cares about everybody and really is trying to help. And there's just a massive event that happens that starts this whole world. A big event happens where a lot of worlds get in trouble and the Jedis have to come out and help them. And you just see that the Jedis are a little different than what you're used to.
Not so wholesome.
What's that?
Not so wholesome.
No, more wholesome because they're a little bit more – well, they're not as stringent. That's the one thing. They're not as rigid as we saw in the prequels. They're a little bit less rigid because they are on the outer edge. You know, they are the sheriffs out on the range. So they're a little bit laid back. People aren't scared of the Jedi. They aren't worried about the Jedi like we saw, like we've always known, seen that they are like a lot of, if you watched Clone Wars, the seventh season, the two sisters, they hated the Jedi for everything that happened because of the war. And this one, no, everybody respects him and loves him and wants them around. So you're seeing that side of it. We're not seeing Sith just yet, but again, this is just starting. The first book, actually, one reason I was really interested in picking up the first book for this one was because it's the same author that did the Darth Vader comic book series that you and I loved.
Oh man, now I have to pick it up.
Yeah, so it was. I was like, no, oh,
that Vader series is incredible.
Charles Soule is his name, And yeah, he was responsible for doing the Vader comic books that you and I both.
Yeah, he did justice to Vader in those comics, man. He brought him back from basically when they wussified him in the prequels and that period, just making Vader and the whole conflict that they made Vader with was just something that, you know, you heard about. But when you see it in comic book form, the way it was written, I was like, oh, this makes sense. I mean, he's an evil bastard, but still, he's still conflicted about everything he does.
Yeah. But yeah, so the first book is written by him. You're going to have one written by Claudia Gray. Anybody knows anything about Claudia Gray, she's
probably the best writer right now.
Yeah, she is. You know, other than Chuck Wendu, but I know he got let go because he posted some strange things. And then Timothy Zahn. I mean, those three before, you know, really have represented. They're like the Filonis of the novel universe for Star Wars. So I'm really looking forward to it. I really enjoyed it. Again, you know, we do have our fandom menace out there that anything is not stringently from the original trilogy, they're going to crap on it. And that's yeah, everybody's like, oh, this looks boring, this lame, blah, blah. Nobody's giving it really a chance to, you know, so just don't listen to the negativity if you are interested. I am going to really try to stick to doing a book review for these. We have this one being released. There's a young adult book I can think being released in February. Then there's I think Claudia Gray's book is out in June or May. So this year we're going to see a lot. And this isn't just the books. This is going to be the books, the comic books. The first series of comic books comes out in with Marvel, which is the one that just was released. But they've also got an agreement with IDW. So there's going to be a High Republic IDW book. My understanding with the IDW book, that will not center around, but will have Yoda in it. Again, he's only 600 to 700 years old. So he is there. He is a master. He is part of the council, but he's a council member that's out in the field.
Okay.
So everything I hear about Yoda will be that he is actually on a ship with younglings or Padawans and training them. So it's not going to be centered around him, but you will see him. And these characters will all intertwine throughout all the stories. They've got a big group of writers that have been really working together to do this. So I'm looking forward to the journey. Something new. I mean, other than, you know, what we've been getting, which I'm not unhappy with what we got, except for the sequel, which I think everybody was just, you know, not on point with that.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, like, everything Star Wars has done recently, both on TV and paper, has been pretty good so far. So if they're going to keep going with this High Republic, then we heard about it. They teased it, and, you know, you're halfway through?
I'm halfway through the first book, yeah, The Light of the Jedi, yeah. And it's like a 350, 375-page book. I mean, it's not huge.
So it's not long, then.
No. It's, like I said, the day job made me work a little bit longer than I wanted to this week, so I was not able to read as much as I wanted. And then, like I said, yeah, they've got this one. Then they've got a young adult book. Then they've got the Claudia Gray book. Then they've got another book. So they're going to be stuff in there for everybody. There is the comic book. There is going to be, like I said, all these different books that are written by different authors.
Gotta check those out then.
Yeah. So what do you got next?
I know you're going to be upset, but the CW has decided to pass on the Green Arrow Canary spinoff.
Aww.
I know it's disappointing. I know you're kind of upset about it, but yeah, they passed. And I guess I'll take point on this one. I'm glad. I think I wrote it in my Facebook, and I think I wrote it in our Facebook page.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
I think, and I'll basically just reiterate what I said on there. I think the story of Oliver Queen has already been said. No offense to the actresses, or, you know, I think they're great. They'll find some other jobs doing something else, but I just don't think you need to go on with this. I don't care about Star City 2040. Like, I saw Star City when I had the Green Arrow and his adventures, and Oliver Queen's story is over. I don't want to know about Mia Queen. You know, you saw that little thing in the future. That's all we needed to see. That's it. Yeah. She's going to go on as a Green Arrow. I don't have to know about it. What's going to happen 3 seasons from now when she's fighting, like, you know, Ra's al Ghul's son from the dead. I mean, it's just going to be a rehash of everything we've already seen. I don't want to see it no more, so I'm good. Bravo. Hopefully they get some other jobs.
Yeah, future, me too.
Move on. You got Stargirl coming. You got Wonder Girl coming. You know, other stuff coming from DC. It's brand new IPs.
Well, so what's the news they have on Wonder Girl? Are they really going through with Wonder Girl, or is it just like...
It's in development.
Just in development right now, okay. Yeah,
development, so they want to do it. I actually...
But will it branch off of Titans? Since they're all part of the...
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. And there's rumors about that, like saying that Connor Leslie, who plays Wonder Girl, might reprise a role in that series, and they said that Gal might be in there.
If they branch it off of Titans, I'd be all on board with that. But if they refresh the whole thing, then no.
Yeah, I don't want no offense. I don't want no teenage drama with Wonder Girl.
No, I want
the Wonder Girl that I got in Titans right now.
Yeah,
I mean, the teenage drama stuff you have right now is Stargirl. They're doing it
perfect. Yeah, they're not doing it. Perfect. They're not overkilling it. They're just it's nice. It's threaded in that story just fine, and it gives us other comic, you know, us comic book fans, the other stuff that, you know, the Justice Society stuff that we're like craving for right now.
Oh my God, I can't wait. I mean, after I was watching that series, that was the first thing I kept looking. Who is these guys? Like, I was like, shit, okay, I'm gonna check this shit out. But yeah, they're not going forward with that, so that's canned, and let's just wish all those actors and actresses well. They'll find other jobs, I'm sure.
Yes. Sticking in the DC world, did you read this? And I thought this was amazing because it was talking about not doing another redone Batman villain, but Dr. Sleep director wants to make a standalone Clayface movie. And if anybody's not familiar with Dr. Sleep was the sequel to The Shining from Stephen King. It had Ewan McGregor in it. But the director, Mike Flanagan, is the one that directed the Netflix The Haunting on Hill House, The Haunting on Bly Manor, if anybody's ever seen any of those. Hush, Oculus. He's done quite a bit. He lives in kind of the horror genre or suspense genre, not just horror, but looks like horror suspense. And when I read that and I saw that, you know, he wants a Clayface movie. I want a Clayface movie, but the fact of seeing where he comes from in his career would be perfect, because that's what something you and I always talked about. Clayface, that's prime horror and suspense, because who is he? You don't know who he is. You don't know what he is. You know, could he be that lamppost over in the corner, you know, on the street? Could he be that guy selling? You don't know who he is. But he's out there, and I think that great – almost – what was the movie Denzel Washington? You and I talked about this about 2 months ago. Denzel Washington, where the soul jumped from body to body.
Yeah.
You could almost go that route with a Clayface-esque story, because not jumping from body to body, but he can become whatever he wants.
Anything. And I think you can go back in the archives. You've talked about this like ad nauseum, how much you want a movie like this, especially in a horror version. I mean, and I think you even said you don't even have to have Batman in the movie.
Nope.
You could just literally do a Boris Karloff movie about him being Clay or Karloff, whatever his name is. You could literally have, I mean, whatever story they go with. I mean, you could have like the actor who wants to get back on top, and he'll do anything to do it. And he finds out this certain cream that makes him whatever, and he could become like. I mean, there's just the story possibilities, especially if you're doing horror way, are just endless.
I mean, I wasn't a big fan of Joker being released. I am a fan of the Joker, the movie, but I wasn't a fan of it being released. But after seeing what they did with that, they could do that with Clayface without Batman, you know, would be perfect.
You could really do it, all the villains like that without Batman. Like, they could all stand alone. I mean, you do it right. I mean, Clayface is one. You could do maybe a Man-Bat. You could do Mr. Freeze. And, you know, they wouldn't miss a beat, because, like, the story of these characters is much richer than having Batman in it. And hello, do I want him in it? Yes.
Yeah.
I want him in it. But, you know, you don't need it. And I think the story and the characters, they can stand on themselves. That's why Batman has the best rogue villains in all of comic book history. I mean, the Spider-Man's probably next in line, but because they relate to him and they can stand alone as well. And I think if you do it well enough, I mean, get a Blumhouse to do it. You could do it on the cheap, too. I mean, can you imagine a movie like a Clayface? I mean, that'd be creepy as hell.
Well, again, like I said, I mean, if anybody's familiar with any of the movies that Mike Flanagan's done, you can definitely see the darker side. Ouija, he did Ouija, Absentia. I mean, like I said, he's done some pretty dark movies. I didn't get a chance to watch Dr. Sleep. I want to see it.
Neither have I. I have not. That's one of those movies I haven't seen yet.
And it's one I want to read first, because it is based off of not just a sequel to The Shining, but there is a book, Dr. Sleep, as well. So I like to see it. And I'm a huge Ewan McGregor fan. So I was kind of like, man, I really want to see this. But I've seen the Bly House, House on Haunted Hill, the series, not the movie. But the series that was on Netflix, and I love those. They were great suspense.
Like I said, if he's going to do it, you know he's going to take care of it, and you stick to that horror vibe. It's perfect. Like, literally, like you were talking about that Denzel Wash. God damn, I wish I knew the name of that movie.
Yeah, I know. You're the Denzel fan. I thought you would.
And I can't think of it for the life of me. It's one of my favorite movies, too. But doing in that vein, I mean, it's dude, like you said, you can be in a room and he could be literally there and you don't even know it. He's just that. He's like the tablecloth. He's like your iPhone or something. You could just make it so strange, man. It would just, ugh.
Yeah. He originally, when asked and talked about this, he's like, I've always wanted to do a Superman movie, but if I can't do a Superman movie, I want to do Clayface. And he basically described it just that horror, thriller, tragedy. And I love the line of tragedy on there.
Because it is a tragic film. He's a tragic character. All these Batman villains we've talked about, literally just in the last 5 minutes alone, are tragic characters in themselves because they have backstories that are heartbreaking. Like Mr. Freeze is another one. That's heartbreaking. Good Lord. I mean, that's probably just him. I can't think of anybody else, but maybe those two. Yeah. Man-Bat, maybe.
Man-Bat would be really good, too, I think. And again, you can do it without, and then you can allude to Batman being Man-Bat. You know, you can now do the newspaper articles, and you can have Gotham PD going, what is that thing out there? And that could be alluding to truly a Batman being out there, but we all know it's Man-Bat because we're the audience, and we see that shit. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I'd be interested to see that. Big thing with that is, you know, the budget, because I mean he's all CGI. Yeah, that's
the tricky part, man. You gotta.
Because I definitely do want to. Unfortunately, I do want to see Clayface as Clayface, yeah. The mold. Yes, I understand. You know, different actors are going to play him at certain points. You know, but that's fine. But yeah, at one point we need to see Clayface the Blob.
That could be like a final act thing too.
Yeah.
I mean, you could, like, the whole movie, he could be literally somebody else in the shadows. You see him, like, shape-shifting, and then at the end you see his true form. But, yeah, you're gonna need some dough for that CGI because that's not going to be cheap.
All right, so what do you got next?
Let me see what I got here, my bunch of goodies, guys. I got some good stuff here. Okay. Guess what? Did you know that Disney Plus has lined up a couple new directors for their Moonlight TV series? Couple guys from the indies.
Moonlight or Moon Knight?
Moon Knight. Did I say Moonlight?
Yeah, you said Moonlight. I was like, are they doing Moonlighting again? Or are they, we're going to see the further adventures of
Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead are joining the show as the latest additions, the directorial team. So they'll be, yeah, they're going to be there. I guess it says 8-episode run so far of this Moonlight stuff. But yeah, they'll be there. They've done a couple indie stuff. Nothing. Let me see. The Endless and sort of Synchronicity. Not Synchronicity, Synchronoc. And a couple episodes of The Twilight Zone. So they're going to be on board. They're going to do some Moonlight stuff. Not Moonlighting, Moonlight. 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 I don't know why I keep saying Moonlighting. I'm sorry. You see it on there?
Yeah, I do see that, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so they're going to be on board doing some Moonlight stuff. And it's been Oscar Isaac's going to be in it. So, yeah, you know, they're in that vein. They want to make it, you know, not wacky, suspenseful about this guy. And he's going to have the multi-personalities. And, you know, I would think one of the Egypt god name that possesses him is going to be in there as well. So,
well, like I said, I think probably the coolest thing with them, if they went that route, which I believe they should, is the fact that, you know, if he is multiple personality, one of those personalities is that. You know, we're going to see those personalities, all those versions of Moonlight we've ever had, will be one of those personalities, inside each one. I think that'll be.
Yeah, you use all the comic runs. That's it.
It'll satisfy everybody. You know, okay, yes, it's not exactly what that you've got your one where he truly is the god, but one of those personalities is that god. And I would be happy with that as a Moon Knight fan.
I'd be happy too. So no release date on it, but it's
going to. Still moving forward with Oscar Isaac. Oscar's looking like he's going to be the Harrison Ford of this Star Wars trilogy. You know, he seems to be the one picking up business, you know, getting more and more jobs. I know Boyega's out there doing stuff, but he's not as high profile, you know, parts. Same thing with I was going to call it
Daisy Ridley. Daisy Ridley's in much.
She's got a few out there. I think there's something new that's coming out with her. I was reading about it and I can't remember the title now.
The Tom Holland film, the weird jungle
movie. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. The Cherry, I think is the one.
Yeah. Cherry. I
think have you seen that yet? Have you seen anything from that yet?
Like the stills? Just seen the trailers.
Okay.
Just the stills.
Tell me he doesn't look like a skinny Tobey Maguire.
He does.
I was like, what? That's creepy. And man, if they could put that together for the Spider-Man movie, I think that would be awesome. But
somehow it's an older version of him.
But no, it seems like Oscar Isaac's going to be the, like I said, the Harrison Ford, where he doesn't get typecast and locked in. he seems to, because, right. I mean, you've got Dune coming out. We've got him on Moon Knight. He had something, was it last year that he came out with? I know he and Pedro Pascal are like buds. So you've got that connection with the Star Wars fandom that, you know, that these two guys are also friends, and they don't even work together. You know, they're just buddy buddies. I think what the last thing I saw was them was New Year's Eve. They were over at each other's house for a New Year's Eve party. You know, I thought that was kind of cool to see. So, I'm hoping to, and I'm a big fan of Oscar Isaac. I mean, I just everything, even in Star Wars, even in the prequel or the sequel, as much as there are issues with the whole trilogy, he was one of my favorite characters and actors.
I thought he was going to be a Han Solo ripoff, and he really wasn't. And he kind of his arc over the three movies
was the best.
It was the best because where he started and where he ended, and like in between what he learned from from General Organa was great. I was like, that's freaking perfect. Like the other stuff was you could have had some stuff with Finn, but you didn't. Daisy was like, you don't know.
Daisy was on her own Jedi journey. So that one I knew we weren't going to see much growth other than the Jedi growth, you know, but, yeah. Between General, Solo and then of course, you know, Hodo. And I think a lot of people like really rubbed off on him and made him a better character. Even Rey and Finn rubbed off on him to where he was something much different character than what we saw at the first movie.
Oh, he way, way different. Like I said, he had the best arc to me out of that trilogy. And I think, you know, that's not necessarily the writing, more him, I would say. So,
yeah, definitely. All right. So my last one, actually, with MCU Phase 4 getting ready to launch here shortly, one of our big arcs that's coming along, we know it's coming. We've seen the casting. We've seen behind the scenes. But the Eternals are coming out. And somebody posted a very interesting question about the Eternals.
What would that be?
What's going to be their drive, their arc? What's going to make their mark, their arc, meaningful? They're immortal. What could stop them? What does anything mean to them when you're an immortal? You can go forever. Yes, there was life and death situations with Earth. There was a life and death kind of situation with Thanos, you know, because of what he saw on the worlds that, he was part of. And there's just what's going to be the driving factor for them to make them interesting enough for us to want to watch. We're going to watch anyways. We're comic book geeks. But for the regular Joe, the girls that, in my office, they always talked about, that they weren't fans, but they became fans because it's about the story and what is driving that character to do what they, have to do. What's going to do that for in the inside of with the Eternals is the big question. They may have kind of draw themselves in a corner.
See, that's especially with characters like that, immortal and sort of invincible. You got to give them stakes. You got to give them something. And I don't know how they're going to write it. I mean, there's a couple ideas I have in my head floating in there, that stuff with the Celestials, they can go back with them. Maybe they could be the threat down the line. I mean, I don't know. Characters like that are hard to write for. I mean, I know when I went to Acme yesterday, they are releasing a new run of the Eternals. I was thinking about picking it up.
Yeah.
Because I want to see where these characters come from and what the conflict is going to be. Is it going to be inner conflict? Is it going to be outer conflict? Is it going to be this damn and the deviants? Like, not to sound like an actor, but what's their motivation?
That's basically the question that this article. Yeah, that's what this article brought up. I was like, yeah, man, that's a good point. I never even
Why do they care? That's the thing. That's the key. Like, if you can make us care. I mean, like you said, we're going to watch it no matter what. I mean, but like,
we're sweaties. We're going no matter what comes out.
But for like, for John Jones, my next door neighbor, why does he want to go?
What the fuck's up, man? What's got to be a Jones? Why can't it be a Smith? I mean, come on, man.
What's wrong? His name is literally John Jones. It's his name in his mailbox. Maybe he's a cousin of yours.
Maybe. Who knows?
But but I don't know how they're going to do it. Just you have to find a way to raise the stakes, especially with cosmic beings. I mean, like I said, you put a gun in my head right now. I couldn't even tell you.
The only thing I could think of that would make them fearful is something bigger and more powerful. And the only thing I can think of would be Galactus. That would be
that's a game changing threat for everybody. That's literally like a cosmic threat.
Yeah. So that's the only thing that if this is the way with the Eternals, they're going to use that their fear throughout their story arc in their in the movie is, well, they have to do this, this, and this, or something bad, big and bad's coming for them, and that's they are fearful of that thing, and that thing would, you know,
and they want to protect, and they want to protect these other worlds from that threat.
Yeah, I think huge. I think they should be the villain. That they, it's not about, it's a very Thanos-esque concept. They want to protect those other places because that's going to come after them and hurt them. It's not about it. Just protecting themselves is just consequentially they're going to be saving the worlds. But it's all about them. Self-preservation.
Yeah.
Just like Thanos's was, we understood why he did what he did. We didn't agree with how he did it. You know, yes, you were trying to help the populations that did live better, live longer. But the way you were doing it, you were bad about it. And I think the same thing could be said to about the Eternals is, okay, they want to stop this. It just happens to coincide with the rest of the world, you know, the rest of the universe, you know, getting something from them, you know, or being able to, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Sorry, I'm trying to play a words today.
No, it's okay. But you got to make that threat bigger, and
yeah. I think Galactus is the only thing.
That's you know, to me, that I was thinking Celestials, but you know, maybe they're more like they'll show them in flashbacks. But yeah, Galactus probably is. I mean, he's literally a threat. So yeah.
And what a better way than to draw him in, to draw Silver Surfer in, then and tag into the Fantastic Four. I mean, that's the probably would be the best way for them to do that. And sorry, guys, I brought up the question without even putting it into my head, and we've just been spitballing here, coming up with that idea. It's not that I've one of us had this thought.
It's not going to be Galactus. We don't know.
Yeah,
this is not happening.
Yeah, I mean, this is just us.
Feige, here's Mike, and man, gives him credit. Hey, that's great, but you know, you own Galactus. But yeah. I'm just, it just to me. It makes sense. You want to, if you're going to have characters like, I think that's the hardest thing about writing characters. Like they've always said Superman and all that. You have to make them have viable threats.
Yeah. That was the big thing. I think Superman in the 90s, not Superman in the 90s, after he came back from Doomsday, he became too overpowerful. Like literally to the point, like he became massive because he was soaking up so much solar energy. He became this behemoth and they had to take him apart, take him down a whole bunch of notches and then, again, take a decade to build him back up to where he's godlike again, and that's always dangerous.
Yeah, it's always hard writing characters like that. I mean, that's why people didn't like Superman, you know, Returns. They were just like, oh, he's just too powerful. He's just lifting up the rock. And then when you give him conflict, everybody hates it. Mm-hmm. But that's another story. So,
yes, sir. You got anything else, sir?
That was my last one.
Last one? All right. Yeah. I've got two things left, and we got enough time, I think. I just want to let you guys know, I have been a huge supporter of anything. Again, we talk about sci-fi, we talk about Star Wars, anything Star Trek. I've been a huge fan and supporter of anything Star Trek. But I was not one of the ones that was, you know, anti-Discovery when it came out. I'm a huge fan. I'm probably a bigger fan of Enterprise than I am of the other Star Trek shows.
And I just finished season one Discovery, by the way. It's a really good show. I like where it's going.
Right now, it's great. I think where they're at, where they have ended season three, and I've said this about other shows before, so this isn't strange for me to make this comment. Where they got to this point, this is where they need to stop. I know they're coming out with more seasons. I think they did the perfect bookend, introduced this these characters. There were some things that later in season three, I got annoyed with. There's a scene, and it's not so much about the story, but it's about the concept of the internal workings of a ship. And you know how Galaxy Quest made the joke that this button is across this cavern where there's like blades slipping by? Why would somebody put something happened in Discovery? And I'm like, really? There's a scene where, and I'm not giving anything away, but there's a scene when they go into the inner workings of the turbo lifts. And when you see the inner workings of the turbo lift, they somehow seem, I don't know, twice the size of the ship. And I'm like, well, that's not right. I understand there's a sci-fi trope that everything's a little further, you know, anything in Star Wars. If you ever watch it in Star Wars, you know, what is it? OSHA does not exist in the Star Wars universe because you see some of the crap that's on Star Wars. You're like, really? Why would you put that up there? I think probably the ending of, what was it? The ending of Rogue One when she's at the very end of that long cliff, like on that time. I'm like, why would you have
guardrails?
I was like, what is that? But this scene in there, and then there's a few other little things that I started to join the hatred of with the other Star Wars or Star Trek fans. I'm like, no, there's still, and I think they hit a point where I was like, you know what, season 3 is great. End there, done. I don't know if I'm going to watch anymore because I like the story I got. I like where they ended up. I can say the same thing about The Boys. You and I talked about this when The Boys came out.
Yeah.
To me, I think where they ended on season 2, perfect. I know they're going to do more. There's 15 volumes, I think, of The Boys comic books out there. They got a ton.
There's quite a few. There's a ton. They'll have time.
They can do it. But I think, you know what? I was happy where season 2 ended. And I could literally say I don't want to watch any more Boys because I think they wrapped up their story and everything on that. And you guys make your call if, you know, when you watch it. But yeah, we don't talk much about Star Trek or Discovery, and I just wanted to, you know, the season's over, season 3, I know you're working your way through them, but yeah, I just think right now where it ended, I think would have been a perfect ending, and they can move on to something new. I know they're trying different things in Star Trek to attract a younger crowd, and I get the older Star Trek fans that they want their old Star Trek. They want that kind of storytelling, but that storytelling doesn't exist anymore. It did in Orville, but Orville wasn't really Star Trek. It was a, you know, not parodying, but it was parodying it in a way that wasn't funny. It was just, you know, just doing it. And I just don't think, and really when you look at Orville was more preachy. People complained about Star Trek being too preachy. Watch Orville. I mean, they have an episode about a society that your money in your life is based off of your likes on a badge. You can get likes and dislikes, and that's where your importance is in society. I mean, if you can't be more blunt than that about, you know, looking, you know, taking the mirror and looking into our society, I don't know what else, you know, is. I mean, you look at Black Mirror does it too. I mean, I'm not a big fan of it, but I do know that's what they do. They do take a look at society and slam it under a microscope and pull out the most obvious thing.
Or a cell phone.
Yeah. But yeah, guys, definitely check it out. Finish it up. You go ahead and you finish your run on that as well.
I'm going to finish it, yeah. Starting season 2.
All right. And then, of course, guys, I did pick up the first runs. I'm not going to talk too much about it because Kane still has to get caught up. But the DC Future State, they are finally out. I think DC released 6 books this week.
I saw about 6 or – it was 5 or 6 I saw.
I saw – let me see here. I saw Harley Quinn. Let me see here. Sorry.
It's okay.
No, I saw Harley Quinn, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Swamp Thing, Flash. So 6. So, yeah, there are 6 books out there. I've read 4 of the 6. They're just starting off the world. It's I'm not sure which direction they're going, so I'm going to wait to pass judgment again, you know, 5 books in. We're going to do the 5 book run or rule. I don't know how long this is lasting. What'd they say? This is for 2 months or 1 month for the Future State?
Let me see. I got it right here. It says, doesn't give like a timeline, but what I read before is like 2 or 3 months.
Is it 2 or 3? Okay. So yeah, we're looking at a 2 or 3 month pause on the normal storyline. So hopefully we'll see what happens with it. But the characters that they have, I right now I can tell you I'm a fan of the Swamp Thing run. So if anybody is interested, yeah, definitely look at the Swamp Thing episode or issue, because that one really, really drew me in. Felt very Alan Moore-esque and like really had that feeling of like a Constantine book as well. The dialogue and the artwork was very reminiscent of that. And I know we're not getting Constantine for a while, so not getting anything for a while because we got a 3 month break on everything.
Yeah, go figure. 3 months. Yay.
But make sure, check it out. It's something new. We know we're only getting it for a small time, so obviously we can at least try it out. And if we don't like it, we'll just wait till it's done and pick up the books at the end. And I'm kind of curious what they're going to do. Are they going to pick back up? Or are they restarting everything again? We haven't really heard anything, have we?
Well, I have to read the last issue of Metal, and apparently it's supposed to tell me where things are going. So once I finish reading that.
Well, I thought that last episode of Metal tied into this. And
that's what I'm
saying. Yeah, but I'm talking about after the 3 months is over. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
I don't know. No.
That's where I'm kind of curious. Are they going to restart everything before Metal, or are they just going to restart everything, period?
I gotta read yeah. up on it. I don't know, guys.
All right, guys. Well,
check it out for you.
Yeah, we'll definitely check it out. We will be having some more reviews of, you know, with Future State going on. I will keep you guys posted on if anybody is interested on the Star Wars High Republic. If anybody wants to you know, get into that and start talking about that, I'll probably put on like a little review on the Facebook page about it, you know, specifically about that. But I'll talk about it here on the show in smaller format. All right, but anything. So we got. I guess that's it. So
that's it, man. Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, make sure you guys do check us out. And if you guys do see at the bottom, you can see our podcast locations. So you guys can go to subscribe to listen to us and get that directly on your phone or any of your devices. You can also check us out on podpage.com/Heroes Asylum or Heroes Asylum Midnight Movies, to where you can also see, you know, listen to some more of those. And what else you got, Kane?
Check us out on Twitter at @TheHeroesAsylum_podcast, Instagram at @TheHeroesAsylum. And guys, check out Midnight Movies Heroes Asylum or Heroes Asylum Midnight Movies. We got some new stuff coming up this year. If you guys wanted to join, PM me or Mike on the Heroes Asylum Facebook page. Let us know. Join us for the insanity of the Midnight Movies. And as always, from the captain to me to you, this is Captain Asylum.
Bring the cat in.